Hey, Nice Guy community, Steve O'Brien got really sick of Doug and Strix, so it's Anna, the production assistant, tuning in here, and here's what you're going to hear on the Nice Guys on Business today.
If you teach people how to take a coaching approach, we help the leader to understand that when someone does not do something, it's because they've got what we would call knots. There's something they're not aware of. They don't know how to approach it. They don't know how to think about it. Maybe they lack the skills to do something. And when we take a coaching approach to this interaction, instead of just pushing people and telling them what the problem is, we get curious about what might be keeping them from doing what they need to do and ask them questions and provide support so that the person feels empowered to actually go out and be successful doing what we need them to do.
Today on the Nice Guys podcast, fencing, fighting, torture, revenge, giants, monsters, chases, escapes, true love, miracles. Oh, no, that's the Princess Bride. Need an education on how to grow your business? The Nice Guys are here to help. Learn about great customer service, networking, and how just being nice can help you prosper. Now, here are your hosts, Doug Sandler and Strickland Bonner.
Nice Guy community, how would you like to create an environment within your organization? I mean, a really cool environment that fosters better learning, a more empathetic culture, and transform your staff into a true team. Well, Diana Anderson, she is the CEO and creator of Cilient's unique comprehensive system for instilling coaching cultures within organizations. Now, Forbes calls Diana a pioneer in creation of coaching cultures. She has a great message to share today, and I know from reading some of her blogs, she's going to be a big fan of our community as well. I'll share the post in our show notes for A Little Love at Starbucks, and you'll love that as well. Welcome, Diana, to the Nice Guys on Business podcast. I see you truly are a nice guy as well.
No, thanks, Doug. It's so great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm happy to have you here. And I want to start with that little love at Starbucks. So although it's probably not exactly directly related to the environment, it kind of shows that you probably have the heart of a leader, and leadership is there's a lot of heart that has to go into leadership. So why don't you share a little bit about the Starbucks story, and then we'll take it from there.
Oh, thanks. What a great place to start. Yeah. So the other day I was, waiting in Starbucks to get my chai and saw the most beautiful interaction. There was a young woman in front of me who'd actually opened the door to let me into Starbucks. And she was waiting, to get her coffee. And there was a gentleman beside us who was pointing really frenetically at the case and wanting to get a baked good out of it. And people were having difficulty understanding. And it came clear to me that he couldn't speak. And while someone, left to go and try to find someone who could help him, he turned and saw this woman in front of me, and their eyes met, and he kind of bumped into her. And I thought, I wonder what's going to happen right now, because, it was just an unusual interaction. Yeah. And so she looked at him, and her face broke into the most beautiful smile. And she kind of signed her eyes to his, kind of pointed to say, "I see you." And the love that was just shared between the two of them in that moment just moved my heart. Incredibly.
And it's amazing that, although again, it probably has little to do with your business, it has everything to do with your business all at the same time. So I want to really start with making the comparison between leadership of old and leadership of new. And leadership of old was led by an iron fist, and it's the leader, what the leader says goes, and beatings will continue until morale improves. I mean, all of that, that was like so old school. And I love the idea of creating this coaching culture, which is kind of a new term for probably many people in our community. And honestly, I had never heard of it before. Before I checked out a bunch of stuff in your background. So why don't we just take a little bit of a dive into what coaching culture means,
right?
And then why, like that, how that connects with A Little Love at Starbucks, which is all about
making connections. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think a really great place to start to understand coaching cultures is to kind of step back for a moment and talk about that traditional approach to leadership that you just referenced. Because most people right now, what we've discovered, really still believe that being a good leader means telling people what to do, correcting them when they're wrong, and really kind of focusing on compliance. But if you think about it, that kind of leadership really came into being at a time when we needed people to be very compliant, you know, when we were trying to run assembly lines or when we were trying to get people to function properly in a hierarchy, you know, when change moved really, really slowly, we wanted people to be compliant and productive. Mm-hmm. But in the world that we live in right now, where there's so much complexity, we need people to do something really different, which is to be able to think for themselves, to be able to do things in a much more innovative and connected way. And that's where coaching cultures come in. The concept of a coaching culture is based on coaching, actually. So probably a lot of your listeners are familiar with the idea, hopefully, of coaching.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the idea of being in a relationship with someone where that person's really just focused on you, helping you learn, helping you grow, helping you kind of push the edge. Well, imagine instead of that just being a one-on-one relationship, what if that became the way everybody interacted throughout your entire enterprise? That's what a coaching culture kind of looks like. It's really people choosing to take coaching approaches to their day-to-day interactions. So that could look like asking a question or sharing an observation instead of going back to these old traditional approaches of kind of pushing your point, what I like to call telling and selling.
Tell me a little bit about the idea of changing an organization that comes to you old school and changing it to this, let's call this a new school culture, this coaching culture, because I would imagine that some of those leaders that are in their 50s, 60s and beyond and 70s and older have a little bit of a challenge with heading away from that. I'm about to make a huge dated reference here. The Darren Stevens model from Bewitched, you know, where the guy comes home and he's got the, you know, he's just come from an organization where he's been beaten up by the advertising agency execs because he didn't do it exactly the way they wanted to. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a big transition for a lot of people. And so when we start to kind of what we call seed the organization for a coaching culture, we often begin with what we call the willing. So we say work with the willing. It's mm-hmm. like find people who kind of get why this is really valuable and maybe already have some proclivity to kind of move in that direction. And we'll often help build their skills and then help them to coach others. So that people start to see the difference that taking a coaching approach really makes. In fact, I could tell you, we were in a really large bank years ago, and the people at the top, this was just too risky for them to do. But folks that reported to them, you know, senior leaders, but the folks who really were responsible for getting stuff done, they saw the value of taking a coaching approach to their day-to-day interactions, and they got behind it. And we were probably a year or two into implementation before the most senior leaders came to us and said, "We keep hearing about this coaching in the moment thing. What is it? We need to know what it is. Everyone's kind of excited about it." So everyone doesn't have to get it, but what we try to help people see is how their world would be so much better, different, more effective when they adopt a coaching culture.
I love this. And I would love to share with our Nice Guy community some examples of this. And if you want to use the bank as an example, that would be great because I can't think of a more conservative environment stepping into an innovative approach to leadership other than a bank. So is it possible to share some examples from that bank?
I can give you examples of what that would look like.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
Yeah. So it might be interactions like instead of thinking that the best way to get people to do what you want them to do is to give them step-by-step-by-step instruction, you know, and then correct them when they're wrong. So let's say maybe they're in a sales mode and you've got a certain way you want people to sell. If you teach people how to take a coaching approach to this, we help the leader to understand that when someone does not do something, it's because they've got what we would call knots. There's something they're not aware of. They don't know how to approach it. They don't know how to think about it. Maybe they lack the skills to do something. And when we take a coaching approach to this interaction, instead of just pushing people and telling them what the problem is, we get curious about what might be keeping them from doing what they need to do, mm-hmm. And ask them questions and provide support so that the person feels empowered to actually go out and be successful doing what we need them to do.
Well, I think, and you brought up a really relevant word, and I'm going to just spend a moment just discussing the word, and that word is empowerment. How is creating a coaching culture differ, or how does it differ? Or maybe it's the same as creating an environment that's that your employees or your team is empowered to make decisions on their own.
I think it is the tool that creates that space. Mm-hmm. I think when you set the intention to have a culture where you want people to make decisions, coaching is the tool that helps people learn how to do that and gain the confidence that they can be successful. So example, if you've got someone and you never had them or allowed them to make decisions and you suddenly say, I've changed my mind, you can now make decisions. Well, you're going to have to coach them, first of all, to think right. about how to think differently. You know, how are they going to have to shift their whole approach to how they approach problems if they're going to be making decisions? And then we coach them to gain confidence in their ability to take the risk that's needed to make those decisions and take action on it. So coaching is what makes that work.
I love that as well. And are there some challenges that you typically will run into when you take in an organization that maybe is going through this old school process? Is it that they're trying to play the hokey pokey? They got one foot in, they got one foot out, or is there a different set of circumstances that you run into that might be problematic for that organization when they try to make this transition?
Well, the problem we all have is we run into our brains, which
it's 6 inches between our ears. That's always the toughest spot. I hear you.
Yeah. I mean, they're wired. We have wired everyone's brains since they were born to think that they should find and solve problems. That's what we've been rewarded for. You know, brains are very malleable, but that's what we've kind of wired ours up to do. And when to be successful at coaching, you have to come at things from a completely different direction. You actually have to get curious about how other people see the world. You've got to focus on building connections. And so you literally have to build a whole new neural net in your brain.
Yeah.
And so the greatest challenge is actually getting people to stay with the learning and practice enough to build that neural net out so that they feel confident about this new way of interacting with people. It just takes time.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
Well, I was going to say, we often tell people, you know, it will take you probably as much time and effort to learn how to coach as it might have taken you to learn how to drive.
Right.
You know, and it'll feel that weird too. When you know, if you remember when you first got behind the wheel of a car, it felt awkward, right? And you, and it took a while and a lot of practice before things became kind of.
Well, you're giving over power, and sometimes that's a challenge. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I think it's a great thing to be able to do that. It gives you the opportunity to allow your organization to grow based upon the team. It's not all based upon you, your presence within that organization. Spend a moment just maybe responding to the idea of, is this an all-in or nothing kind of environment? I can only imagine that you go into some organizations and certain departments take it and they love it and they run with it. And then you go into other departments within the organization that has a leader that might not want to build their organization based upon a coaching culture. Mm-hmm. It creates a whole bunch of confusion within the organization, I would think. So is it all-in or not?
Well, you know what? The model that I use or refer to when it comes to building a coaching culture is the same kind of process it takes to create a butterfly, if you will. It's called imaginal cells.
Right.
So when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, initially there are what they call imaginal cells. So little cells inside that caterpillar that contain the DNA of a butterfly. And they start to light up and they start to connect and find each other. And then they start to create more. The same process works for building a coaching culture. Find the people that get it, that have value for it, and have them kind of clump together and support each other And what happens is they will start coaching the other people who are more challenged or who are more frightened by the transition. Mm. And the more, it's that tipping point piece, you know, at some point you have a tipping point where it goes over. And so I say focus on creating the tipping point. And then that culture starts to flourish.
Yeah, the idea of having an organization that's kind of in that transitional space gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, oh my gosh, is this actually going to happen? I'm hoping that it works. What are some of the telltale signs when you know something like that, this is actually taking hold and rooting within an organization?
For us, I can tell when it becomes part of their language. So for us, our approach to creating coaching cultures is called untying the knot. Mm. And when I hear people start to use that language, so leaders, when they talk to their people and in maybe talk about a challenge they're having, they might use that language of, you know, we've got some knots. There's some things we're not aware of here that are getting in our way, or maybe we've got some fears or concerns. So when that language just becomes part of the fabric of the organization, I can tell it's really starting to seep into the DNA of people.
So part of it, Nice Guy Community, is even recognizing whether you are someone that leads your organization or has created a coaching culture within your organization, big and small. It sounds like it doesn't have to be a company that has multiple layers of management. It could be a small organization. And again, Diana, I'm hoping that you can either, say, hey, that's right, or that's wrong. So why don't we start there? Is this something that any size organization can participate in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not only can they, but they need to. Yeah.
So Nice Guy Community, again, if you feel like you are leading by these, let's call it new school coaching culture ways. And then again, I refer to it as something that might be new school, but it does not. It probably is something that's as old as the hills. Just it never might not have ever had a title until I came across your info, Diana. Sure. But whether you are an organization leading old rules, new rules, why don't you figure it out just by going to Cilliant.com/learn more. And I'll make sure we put a link in the show notes. It's actually info.cilliant.com/learn more. But we will put a link in the show notes. Don't worry about writing any of that stuff down. But see if you are an organization that that goes the old way or is looking more towards the new way. And there'll be the ability for you to do an assessment. Is this right? Am I saying it right? Can they do an assessment?
Yeah.
Whether they're old or new?
Yep. There's a little assessment there that they can kind of self-score. And it's going to give them an idea where they are in that transition, whether they're leaning more towards kind of old school or moving more towards what we would call coaching-based leadership.
That's great. And before we wrap up here, I just want to just spend just a quick moment, regardless of whether somebody goes to your website and checks out more information about your company, or they're just thinking, hey, this sounds like a cool idea. Can you help maybe provide an action item, something that they could do as soon as they're off of listening to this interview that could possibly set the wheels in motion to becoming this new coaching culture, a product within their organization? Is there something that we can share with them that might be an action item that they can take to task today?
You know, I think a really simple but powerful thing that they can do is something that comes out of our Coaching in the Moment workshop, excuse me, which is the idea of getting curious instead of getting caught. And so when your listeners approach something and they find it a little bit challenging, often what we do is we create a story in our heads and we react to it, and things can really go south quickly when we do that. We call that getting caught. If people just practice getting curious about how other people see the world, it would change all of their relationships and interactions in a really profound and powerful way.
Wow. So curiosity is definitely something that we practice a lot of here in our community. And I think it's something asking questions, allowing there to be a little bit of space between the communication that you have and the response that you provide. Sometimes that little bit of space is all you need. So curiosity is great here. Again, Diana, thank you so much for being a part of the show today. Thanks for sharing everything that you got. I'm excited to get some positive feedback from our community. And again, thanks for your inspiration today.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much, Doug. It's been great to be here.
Nice Guy community, never underestimate the power of nice or the power of a very positive coaching culture within your organization. Special thanks to Diana for being on the show today. All of her information, including access to her website, will be right there in the show notes. Steve O'Brien, go ahead and take us out of here.
For the Nice Guys on Business, I'm Steve O'Brien. Fill up your week with the Nice Guys. Have fun storming the castle, boys. Yeah, I don't mean to pry, but the Nice Guys don't by chance happen to have six fingers on their right hand, do they?